Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Charlene Hood, who will be speaking to us about the inner wisdom of 2012. Interesting subject. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Maureen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much, Lady Brenda. And yes, I'm looking forward to the 2012. I like the 2012 numbers.
Yeah. So tell us, Maureen, what do you do? Tell me your milieu.
What do I do? What I do. Well, I am an empath, intuitive advisor. I call myself a tarologist, but I'm very well versed. My main thing is tarot. And I do feel very strongly that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, along with a lot of other tools of the sciences, of course. But I utilize my, you know, all the C stuff that we don't want to go through. You know, I have see this, see that. Mm-hmm. And a caring heart, which will allow me to receive psychic impressions and visions. And really, the most important thing is the ability to see beyond appearances. I think is really important to be objective with my readings, people. And I really love my work. And I work at PsychicAccess.com with everybody here.
I think that's, thank you, Maureen. That's important to clarify that, you know, to be very non-judgmental in our readings. And,
yes.
You know, for the people who get the readings, for them to know they're in a safe place when they're getting a reading, you know?
We're not playing God, yes.
No, we're not playing God. We're not chastising them.
Thanks, Rick.
Oh, now, Steve, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, Brenda.
You know, I wanted to thank you again for hooking me up with Charlene. You came through, yay!
No, I'm looking you're
forward to talk. I am looking forward to talking to her. She's such an interesting lady. So, Steve, tell us about what you do, honey.
I'm a psychic medium, so I connect with spirit as Bobby does, and I'm also interested in different forms of metaphysics. So you all know I'm very interested in astrology. I find that a really accurate way of not only predicting events, but understanding the psyche and even going back in time to understand if things happened. I had a client that was asking me if he had fathered a child a number of years ago, and I went back looking at his astrology and were able to identify that he did. And it's just an incredible way of seeing the truth about what's occurring in life, whether that's now, in the past, or in the future. But I'm also very interested in tarot, so I enjoyed the recent show we had on tarot and just fascinated by anything and everything to do with metaphysics. Unless Bobby's talking about it.
No, because then it's fascinating. Because then
he's back.
He is there. Bobby, you're up next. Thank you, Steve.
Welcome.
All right, Bobby, what about you? What's your story?
Oh, geez.
Here it comes.
In Littleton, Colorado, many years ago. Do you want to go back that far? Or
No. Let's flash forward.
When I was 16, I was... No, I, how about now?
Now.
Okay. Psychic medium and coaching, helping to coach people and just kind of, you know, it's just insights. As people talk and you get vibrations and you kind of help guide those vibrations and help them let go of what they need to let go of, remember what they forgot. You know, it's nothing. Sometimes I say, like, when you come to the workshops that I have, you're not learning anything. I think sometimes it's just remembering. You know what I mean? Because there's this, like, oh, right type of moment, not, oh, I did not know that. You know, I mean, in some ways, when you're talking about the spirit stuff, but if you're just kind of guiding somebody towards the inner part of themselves, it's just a remembering, I think. So that's it. That's all.
Well,
that's all.
Thank
you. So you take care and bye.
Well, don't go away. Thank you, Bobby. And myself, I work at psychicaccess.com with all my other wonderful co-hosts, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places. Well, tonight's guest, Charlene Hood, is a LAPSW, a energy empath, Shambhala Usui Reiki master, and trained therapist. She uses the unique Heart of Encouragement system of personalized coaching to assist clients as they identify those life blocks that have kept them from succeeding. This system utilizes both cognitive theory and integrated intuition as Charlene listens to the resonance of your voice to identify potential hidden emotions, to identify stuck points, healthier behaviors and choices. Her years of experience in working with clients from all walks of life and in different levels of trauma have resulted in deep empathy for others' pain. Using the Heart of Encouragement system, she helps her clients identify actionable next steps to move them forward into deeper relationships with themselves and others. For more information about Charlene, visit her website at CharlaneHood.com. Hello and welcome, Charlene.
Hello. Can you hear me well?
Yes, you're coming in very clear.
Yay. Thank you, producer. Thank you all.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you on the show tonight. And yeah. I enjoyed the past show that you did that Steve was the host of. And I know that you know, according to what you do, you go a lot on voice vibrations and, you know, how this relates to people and what's going on in their lives. So the first thing I want to ask you, is there a specific tone or vibration for the date 12-12?
Yes, there is. And part of what's happening on the 12-12-12 is that crystalline grid activation. So that's really the idea behind today's topic is, are you listening? Mm-hmm. Many of us are beginning to hear like a really high, either wide or thin kind of frequency that's starting to come in. And depending on how sensitive you are and, you know, your own resonance field, how much you're hearing it. So some people hear it like bells. Other people are hearing it as a high-pitched whine. I mean, I'd have to ask all of you all, are you sensing or hearing something new just on the outer edges of your hearing range?
You know, for myself personally, it's more of an awareness than an actual hearing, you know, almost like it's in the other, you know, the type of thing where if you're giving a reading, you hear it, but it's
yes.
really not a sound that you hear that's out there.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. I do exactly know what you mean, and that's what I listen for in people's voice as I'm working with it. It's what is just out on the edges of their auric field, or just out on the vibration of what they're actually saying, and it's all the rest that's not said.
Oh, so that's interesting. So explain the crystalline grid for those of us who really.
The crystalline grid is the term that's being used for the energy of ascension that we're coming into. And the best way that I've had it explained to me is if you think of a skyscraper being built and just make the internal frame, that's what our electromagnetic resonance is doing right now. I mean, that's kind of where we are in the 3D. And when we come up into this fifth dimensional through 12th dimensional energy, what will be like is be like putting the granite blocks around the outside, the facing of that skyscraper. Hmm. And what that's going to do for us is give us like this whole new energy field, this whole new access to new language and new energies and new guides that we haven't had access to before.
That is very interesting. Almost like a we're like a tuning fork almost, or something
yes.
like that. That we're going to tune into that vibration.
Yes.
That is so interesting. That really is. So I suppose in many ways that would affect us, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually at the same time. Don't you agree?
Yeah. It's definitely, and that, I'm sure you're all seeing that in your clients. I mean, people who are having like massive personal life changes, or suddenly they've quit their jobs, or we are feeling it on all of those levels. People are being diagnosed with illnesses and then either miraculously cured or they're transitioning. There's this time squeezing that I'm talking about, that we're in this last phase right before the 12-12-12. And please hear me. I'm not predicting any kind of dire consequences. I'm just saying we're feeling something new.
Mm. So explain the significance of this date in history. Like, it's been foretold before, you know, and have these subjects been brought up in some of the things that have been, you know, that they've told about in the history, that has been written in the history?
Yes, it goes back to any time we turn a century, we have these triple dates like 111, 222, 333, and they go back into numerology and sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those who study alchemy and different kind of things, I go back to the circling of the square. You know, we start out with the circle inside the square, inside the triangle, inside the big massive cosmic circle. Mm-hmm. So, have we been here before? Yes. And have we been here on other calendars? Yes. We just happen to be living in a time period, and it's my personal belief that we contracted to be here during this time period to make sure that this change happens in a very peaceful way. And with, I mean, Steve can talk about the astrology and in the sky and how many different things are coming in. It's like we're locking time space, energy space, crystal space, cosmic space. All of them are coming together in this one point.
Hmm. Almost like whenever we have these triple dates, like 12, 12, 12, 11, 11, 11, mm-hmm. that on some psychic level, perhaps that, or intuitive level, it's like a gathering of both negative and positive. Because if you look at what's happening in the world now as we get closer to this date, I mean, there's some pretty intense things going on in the dark and in the light as well.
Sure. And what, you know, I'm not telling you anything that you and your listeners don't know, but what we do in this 3D reality here on Earth now is about duality. So it is that polarization of light and dark, positive, negative, North Pole, South Pole, magnetic field. And when you get to one of these portal points, and see, I think that 12-12-12 opens it. 12-21-12 is like the peak of the bell-shaped curve, and then the portal will close 3-13-13. So it's these different kind of things of, did we arbitrarily pick a triple date to say, oh, it's going to start then? Not really. But it's using, like, if you were going to go buy something, you go buy it when it's like the best frequency for you to do it. I know that's kind of a shallow example, but most of us have the example of buying.
I don't know.
You know? You don't go
buy necessarily because, I know it sounds mundane, but
yeah.
As you had mentioned, the ancients put a lot of store in numbers and in societies like, you know, ancient Egypt and even in India and places like that. They put great store in a lot of these, you know, mm-hmm. vibrational numbers even now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And inside of that is, if we go back and, you know, whether you believe in past lives or not, many of us studied in the ancient wisdom schools, right? Many of us spent whole lifetimes learning one lesson. And now, because we are in the level of society where we are now, we can Google it on the internet. Right? Everybody who just heard me talk about squaring the circle and don't know what that is, just can Google it and suddenly there's that information, which before would have been in the hands of a particular wisdom school, and you and I being female wouldn't have had access to it.
Well, you know what? The times have definitely changed for the better, right?
Hey, us.
So what? So you know, in keeping with a lot of that stuff, I mean, there's so many doomsday prophecies. What are some of the doomsday? I know that some of the listeners, because they've heard a lot of stuff and they've read a lot of stuff, they're wanting to know, you know, could you dispel some of these doomsday prophecies that have been associated with 12-12-12?
Sure. And again, I'm going to refer you to the research out on the internet. I can tell you my personal belief on that is just the idea of if we were trying to convey information over the next 20,000 years to someone and would try to get their attention, what could you pick that they can focus in on? Right, it's like mm-hmm. using crystal skulls as you know, something to focus on. Everybody has a skull in their head, right? I mean, so when we're trying to figure out something in the future that's anxiety producing, unknown, our minds, our left brain minds, make up all kinds of stories, and mm-hmm. in those stories, they get potentially more and more catastrophic, right? And mm-hmm. in that catastrophic area, we then put everything that's ever happened wrong in our life and hang it on that and then find a place to be fearful. And that's normal. That's what human beings do. And, you know, that's the definition between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge we get out of a book. Wisdom we get from experience. How many people live past, you know, the Y2K doomsday predictions?
Right. It seems like every year now, though, and now correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't it seem like in the last few years that, you know, like last year was supposed to be the rapture thing that never happened? You know, there seems to be one specific, almost every year there's a doomsday prophecy now. Do you think that that could be associated with maybe a collective negative consciousness? Or
yes, you have your finger exactly on it. Yes. And in this, in the field, in the matrix, what quantum field, whatever word we're going to use for it, there's lots of books out there about it. And just saying up front, I am definitely much a quantum theorist. Once that gets out there and we're looking for a place for it to land, anything mm-hmm. that looks unusual or different is a place to pick something, you know?
Right. It could, because it's unknown, it inspires fear.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah. There's a question there in the chat room that says, would that have something to do with the location of the energy vortex locations around the world? Yes. And these triple date portals have been bringing more of the ancient energy vortexes online. And what I mean by online is it's instead of them being dormant, it's like a lighthouse has come on. And that also, I'm asking, have you noticed that your abilities have ramped up recently in the last year?
Well, I specialize in times and dates, and I do kind of keep a record of some of the stuff that I tell my clients, and it's become more and more accurate and pinpointed. So in that way, in my own specific way of doing my psychic work, it has. I have talked to other people, and this seems like, and you've probably talked to a lot of your clients too, doesn't it seem to you that there's been a lot more people experiencing their psychic awakenings than there have been in the past?
Oh yeah, definitely. I can ask people and say, okay, tell me what happened in the last 2-3 years, and they go, oh my gosh, suddenly I could hear stuff and suddenly I knew stuff, right? I mean, mm-hmm. definitely pinpointable.
It doesn't seem like even 10 years ago, even in the, when the new age was popping in the 80s, I mean, you had people that were like studying and wanting to learn, but it didn't seem like they were having the psychic awakenings like they're having now.
Yeah. And this, I mean, this goes back to what I was talking about. We've entered the last quarter, and it's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, everybody who's awake, come awake now or else.
Yeah, and we're kind of like, we've segued right into my next question, which is, if a person is a sensitive or an empath, will their experience with 12-12-12 be more dramatic? And according to you, what do you think?
Well, my answer is going to be yes, with a caveat. many of us in our childhood learn to tune all of this out. And I mean, I don't know, you may be one of the privileged few who was able to keep it all turned on, but most people around me, we were like, oh yeah, I used to know that, or oh yeah, I used to count on my intuition. And it's going to be one of those kind of things where suddenly people know and they can't deny it, right? And I'm not sure mm-hmm. how much I want to use the word dramatic, but suddenly we know.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by that. Now, the dramatic, I use that just because I really meant amplified. Maybe that's a better
amplified
word.
Amplified is a great word. Yes, 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 yes. Very much so. Very amplified.
Especially if we're talking about it, it's even on a tonal type of vibration. Now, Charlene, just an average person, you know, not necessarily psychic, empath, or of those of us that do the work, what should we be doing to be open to some of these messages of 12-12-12, of that date and the vibration?
Sure. And I'm going to give a side answer first. I'm believing that because we're doing our work, those of us who are coming are awake, we are dropping that experience into the quantum field, and that is impacting the mass consciousness. So as, you know, even as we're, you know, as we're talking, there's 25,000 people around the world coming aware. That then becomes a magnifying amplitude, sound wave, whatever. Somebody with more engineering examples could tell us what that is, but as they come aware and as the collective unconscious becomes more aware, there's that amplification, right? So the average person is going to start feeling it. Most people start feeling in their second chakra or their solar plexus. They just feel something, and I call it, it's an example of feeling itchy. They know something's off, or they know something's coming, but they don't know why. That's what I see as maybe the beginning level of people going, hey, there's something else out here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless people have this sudden download or are struck by lightning or have some kind of massive experience when suddenly they can't deny it anymore. But as I work with people around energy, and particularly probably as you work with your students to help them open their psychic abilities, one of the first things that I say to them is, where are you feeling it in your body?
So because, the itchy chakra is like the first sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that. Itchy is a good word. It's kind of, but and you know that's the worst feeling as an empath, to know something's going to happen. You don't quite know when or how, but you just know it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when I then get on Facebook or get on my network or you know get around, you know, start sending stuff around the world, going, okay, here's what I'm feeling. What's happening in your area of the world? Right. And here's kind of what I get woken up at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning and get information come in. Right. And then I'm going, OK, I need to verify this. And I send emails out. I mean,
wow, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, and so if you get a response back from Israel or South Africa or Germany or Scotland, people are like, oh, yeah, I got that same thing. Then you have some validation.
Well, and exactly. And so that brings me to you as an empath and you as someone who's doing the work. What are some of your personal predictions for 12-12-12? What do you think? You know, what do you feel is going to really happen?
Sure. You know, the other thing I've got to preface with is I love to have fun. So I just think it's like, so many of us have waited our entire lifetimes for all of it to come online that I think those of us in the vanguard, like yourself and Steve and the people, you know, who are doing this work as a living, suddenly we're going to look around and instead of just being those of us standing here alone, we'll look around and there's lots of other people. So that's my personal prediction, is that when we look around, there'll be so many others around us that it will be like, oh, look there. Oh, hey, I know you. So I look forward to that piece of meeting what I call the cosmic family, meeting those of us who are here to do this work in a big way.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
What about the mundane? Anything in the mundane, like as far as like, you know, actual things like natural disasters or anything like that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't give a whole lot of energy to that, simply because, again, one of my teachers says that, you know, a catastrophic prophecy that comes true is a failed prophecy. Again, remember, I'm a quantum person, thinking that we can shift if enough light workers are holding energy and holding a vibration, unless that is something that the mass needs, which there's some of those out there, right? That we are moving forward, happening at a fifth dimensional level and working on things. Now, that's not to say that we are not in a free will zone. If a particular person needs something like that to happen in their life, we're gonna manifest it, right? I mean, so sometimes when you're working with dates, I'm drawing this analogy. Sometimes when you're working with a particular client and you give them particular dates, you know that that date is specific to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Other time, I'm guessing you get information on a range, like a date from this day to that day, and you know that in the collective field, something is shifting. Right?
Yes, and sometimes it's either or.
Right. And that comes, that's this, are you listening? That's this wisdom piece. That comes from your experience to know which time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on the 12-12-12 portal, you know, we have lots of the Atlantean energy coming back online. We have lots of the cosmic energy. Remember I was saying time, date, you know, grids kind of all snapping together. We have this opportunity to bring in light and harmonic energies and higher frequencies in a way that are beneficial to the most. And, you know, I'm not one of these left behind kind of people that say, oh, we're all going to ascend and all of those bad people are going to stay there. Right?
Well, that's a little absurd, actually. So in a nutshell, you know, thoughts and words are action, beginning with a collective thought of those of us who become more aware. And even if we were to look at it as far as people who are, you know, not aware yet, or perhaps they're wanting to be aware and they're on a negative path, perhaps they're creating chaos in some parts of the world through different, you know, causes and religions and stuff. Maybe even their energy, if it's potentially negative, would have an effect of rebirth. Don't you agree?
Yes, 100%. Yes. And I'm guessing you're actually seeing that in your clients.
I do, and I see it in the individual and global as well. You know, because you know, it's a microcosm macrocosm relationship. You know, we are a part of everything here on Earth, as well as in the universe.
Yes. Yeah. I was listening. The Dalai Lama had a Dharma talk in Dharamshala recently, and his comment was about, again, unconditional love. And his comment was that unconditional love expressed inwardly is experienced and felt as peace. Expressed outwardly, it's experienced and felt by others as joy. And so when we're talking about mundane people or those people who are not yet awakened, even they know joy. I mean, they may not experience, you know, that's why I keep saying, I know I'm not enlightened. All I have to do is get behind the wheel of the car and get out on the freeway. And I am not experiencing joy.
Well, you know, driving is one thing, but we just don't want to be experiencing this energy while we're driving, right? If something was to happen, like a almost kind of like a big I don't know, the way I visualize it and what you're saying is that right at that time is just going to be like the vibrational tuning that we're all going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it would affect certain things that, like computers or anything like that, electronically on that date, 12-12-12?
I don't. It's a crystalline grid. Every one of our our computers are all silicone based, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I've been watching some of the other things here in the chat room. I mean, could we have some kind of magnetic storm coming from the earth, from the sun? I mean, that's going to impact stuff. All you have to do is be a physicist and talk about charged particles and name things that are way over my head. But, so the answer is it all impacts. I mean, even right now, I'm sure there's a solar storm doing something somewhere in our vicinity. And, you know, we're still sitting here on computers talking to one another.
And it's also, you know, there's been an awful lot of talk. Every time we have these like 11-11-11, 12-12-12, there's an awful lot of talk about extraterrestrial contact and UFOs and things of that nature. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, again, I think that we are cosmically connected. I go back to the fact that we are an eternal soul. So you're just asking me, this is my personal belief. No one else has to have this. So mm-hmm. I talk about interdimensional connections, not exactly extraterrestrial, but interdimensional, multidimensional connections. You know, the answer to all of that is yes, and it's how you want to perceive it. And it goes back to the beginning of our conversation about whether it's fear-based or not. So, I mean, when you work with your guides, are they extraterrestrial or interterrestrial or interdimensional or multidimensional?
That's an interesting concept. Would you feel that perhaps on that date, since we're all kind of experiencing this type of vibrational energy, that it could attract, you know, perhaps beings from another planet or other dimensions to enter more easily or make contact more easily at that time?
The answer is, if you're able, my answer is, and it's not the answer, my answer is, if I'm able to tune up to that higher frequency, it's like the old FM radios. Remember how you would be just almost on the channel and you could turn it just a little bit more and the crystals would come in and suddenly you can hear this beautiful radio station? That's what I'm anticipating. That suddenly we're closer to the actual sound and connection and spiritual heart of this cosmicness than we are when we're in anger or in fear or in judgment.
And I'm glad that you mentioned fear, because fear is, it seems like, in keeping with world events and even amongst our clients and so forth, that there has been a lot of polarization and fear of late, of this last, you know, year or two. Mm-hmm. What do you feel? Have you experienced this?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you that there's been a whole lot of fear dropped into this quantum field, and it comes because of each of us wanting life to be easy, and me wanting to do my work, and we're all connected. And so if you're worrying about your child needing to be fed and you're in survival mode, I can talk about joy all I want, but you're needing to feed your child.
So survival and the survival, which would be related to one of the other chakras, one of the base chakras.
Yes, exactly. The root chakra. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's you know, so many things coming full circle, you know, and as you know, that in order for there to be love or joy, that it can't exist in a state of fear.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned a little bit about numerology earlier in our conversation, and could you tell us a little bit about the numerology of 12-12-12?
You know... when we talk about these triple portal numbers, and we talk about, you know, any of the higher numbers manifesting, you know, Steve is very much someone there who speaks and works with numerology. What I find is, you know, 13 is the Christed consciousness. So we're moving out of that 12 energy and taking that magnification of 12 and going to, again, 12, 12, 12, 12, 21, 12, 3, 13, 13. 3 being the Trinity and 13 being the Christed consciousness. And so when we're talking about this vibration of a 12, and then you take it and cube it, basically, right? Mm-hmm. 12, 12, 12. Sorry, you can't see my hands going around in a cube kind of space.
I can envision it, okay?
we get this beautiful energy that happens, and the symmetry of, if I say it right, the dodecahedron, which mm-hmm. then brings in a lot of information in the 12 different planes of the universe.
That's fascinating.
That's a whole nother radio show, right?
Well, let's hold that thought while we take a little bit of a short commercial, okay?
Sure.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Charlene Hood, and we're talking about 12, 12, 12. You know, it's interesting what you said about the Christ energy, and it seems to be, you know, such a focus, you know, globally right now in, you know, the Creator, you know, different religions and things of that nature, and, you know, 12, like the month of December being the Christmas month, and the, you know, and even amongst the Druids, it's a the sacred day of, you know, if you were to think about the pagans and their, you know, it's the winter-born sun, so the ending and the beginning. So tell us a little bit more about this Christ energy and what you've observed about it.
Sure. And when I say Christed consciousness, I'm talking about the Christosophia. I am not talking about the dogma of religion. I'm talking more, again, I'm just wanting to be clear because, oh, I am not a priest in any particular religion saying you must follow this information. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the cosmic global understanding that there's something here that is all loving and all knowing and all present. And all we have to do is look at a baby being born and know that there's some kind of bigger design. So let me just put that out there. And when we talk about the Christed consciousness and we use the words like enlightenment and ascension and higher realms of being, this is the writings that have happened since before we began to write. I mean, there's lots of oral traditions about how this higher wisdom comes into us. And so when we're talking about moving into 13 energy or 33 energy, I mean, somebody just wrote that when they woke up, again in the chat room, that they usually wake up at 3:13, right? That's the Trinity and this higher Christed consciousness. So we begin to notice, you know, notice somebody's what your house number is, or notice how the numbers show up continuously. And when I think of that, it helps me to realize, and this is just me personally, that I'm not doing this alone. That not only are my guides here, but there is a universal cosmic presence, however you want to call it and identify it, that is asking us to do our part. And I use the phrase, that which is wanted to be created through me, because only I can bring it.
And, you know, I really like that last statement that you made, only you can do it. And I think that it's important for people to realize that, don't you think, is that it's within us. It's not that we have to keep grasping at things that, you know, we hope will bring it, but the work, and wouldn't you agree that, you know, it does take work to be able to, you know, attain that?
Yes.
I mean, a kiss doesn't fall out of the sky into our lap like, you know, the winning lottery ticket. But, you know, there's a certain amount of spiritual work we have to do.
Yeah, and I certainly think that's, again, as you do the psychic development and you're working with your mm-hmm. students and you're working with people around you, it's about clearing our inner space. And right, and sometimes that looks like listening to the Dalai Lama, and other times it looks like picking up a magazine out of the doctor's office and reading just that beautiful line that helps you go, oh, those are those aha wake up moments. And, you know, my premise is once I have knowledge, I can never go back.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So if you we're talking to people on how to, you know, listen for some hidden messages, or to begin the listening, or to be aware of the vibration of 12-12-12. What would you suggest they could do on a daily, you know, like a daily ritual, like a very short meditation, perhaps light a candle? What would you suggest on something, a very light level that they could do, you know, just to attune themselves?
Sure. And that is exactly the breath work around meditation. I mean, all of us are breathing all the time until we catch ourselves not breathing, right? So even if as you wake up in the morning,
am I breathing?
Yeah. I mean, but seriously, look around you and say to people, you know, I say to people, breathing out is good. Because they're only breathing like at the top of their chest, really shallow in their shoulders, because they're so tense and busy and worried and upset about something. And so if you took the time, even 2 to 5 minutes to get started with, to just simply breathe through all of your chakras, to put your hands on your lower belly and push it out, you know, and then breathe and push back into your spine and breathe out. Because it's seriously, be still and listen. And I know that when I first started to try to be still, oh my word, I thought I was going to go crazy. I am not a still person.
Internal chatter, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, I mean, somebody had said, maybe Deepak Chopra said, there's only 3 levels of meditation. You know, you're awake, your mind's going, or you're asleep, because our mind is constantly going to be going. And so anything that I can do to steal it, rather than 60,000 thoughts a minute, I might have now 50,000 thoughts a minute. I've made progress.
So being in a quiet place, take a moment. You know, we don't do that. People don't do that as a rule. It's rush, rush, rush here, you know.
Right.
All, you know, here, there, here and there all the time. But so your suggestion would be to take a moment whenever, any time of the day, to just take some deep breaths, huh?
Yes, definitely. And feel it. Breathe down past your, you know what I'm talking about, here, and just mm-hmm. kind of in your shoulders. You're never really breathing into your body. Just breathe. And that sounds so simple. I know some of the stuff I've said has been really simple, but in my experience, we just don't do it.
Well, the chakras themselves are I think that they're likened to breaths, aren't they? You know, in the Indian Sanskrit and stuff, I think they're called the 5 breaths, or the something of that nature, the 7 breaths, something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but I know breathing is very important to clear the chakras and to nourish them.
Yes. Exactly. And so, you know, if you wanted to start a practice, it is just that. You know, I mean, Google online or go to YouTube and watch one of the different things. One of the first things that I do with some of my clients is we dance. I mean, it you just absolutely have to get into those second chakras, down into those musics, down into those wavelengths where we don't normally live.
That's very fascinating that you mentioned that, because I was looking on Facebook and contact, because I'm a dancer myself.
Yeah.
And one of my dancer friends on Facebook said, she made this statement. She goes, when she dances, she feels like she's closest to God.
Yes.
Which I thought was, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, you can reach that state through something like that. You know,
exactly.
Activating those chakras, getting that euphoric feeling. And
right. Right. And it is actually a state, right? And
mm-hmm.
and so coming into your body, coming into your center column, coming into yourself, by definition, you're going to be able to listen more. You're going to be able to tune in more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the wisdom that's happening for so many people now. I'm calling it clearing our lives. And I've just put that in air quotes. We're clearing our lives, because how many people around you in your practice, in your life, they're getting rid of stuff, they're letting go of relationships, they're moving to new locations. I mean, it's a massive flow right now.
So not only that, if they don't do it, they'll be forced to do it. See
yes.
what I mean? Have you noticed that?
Oh,
that they hesitate,
yeah.
and then it happens for them, and they just have to deal with it. So, you know, what I'm getting through all this, and, you know, which I feel is fascinating, just like all these messages from the ancients and writings and stuff like that, there's a certain amount of bastardization of the message.
Yes.
You know, like the end of the world, doomsday, blah blah blah, but what it can be, you know, interpreted as is more like a renewal. You know, of course there has to be an ending in order for there to be a renewal,
right?
And you know, so we're not the whole planet's not going to explode.
No. No. You know, I mean, there's a conference in New Mexico right now that the 13 indigenous grandmothers and Greg Braden and some of the other big names are there.
Right,
it's
right,
put
right.
on by the Seed Institute. And it's just saying that. I mean, our elders are telling us, no, I mean, it's just here we are at this next stage. It's like, you know. Pick a life stage. And in America, we graduate from middle school to high school, and then from high school to life, or high school to college, and college to marriage, and marriage to, you know, the military, whichever direction that you went into. But, you know, a five-year-old isn't going to do that. So we've progressed to that stage.
So the Mayan prophecy of the end of the world was probably just the end of some sort of cycle.
Yes, it is actually the end of a cycle. Yes.
What exactly was their predictions for those people listening that aren't familiar, or they just kind of know, you know, that the Mayans said such and such and blah blah blah? I mean,
that's one of those things to Google, because I wouldn't be able to pronounce the words. I mean, there's these 26,000 year cycles, and inside of those there are Bachtoons. And the Bachtoons have to align in a particular way for the completion of the cycle. And I can see this beautiful diagram in my head, but I don't have it in front of me. But literally, the Mayans were masters about cycles. They understood the turning of nature. So the prediction is we are now at the end of the cycle, and it's the same. I'm not drawing the analogy that it's the same as our astrology of moving from the Piscean age into the Aquarian age, and it's the language that we speak. We speak in terms of cycles because, oh, humans notice how nature changes.
Well, it's a macrocosmic thing. I mean, because it's not only our little lives, it's nature around us, and so many people are just so they're completely unaware of the cycle of nature.
Yes.
And I think that some of the belief systems in which they've, over the last couple hundred years have separated them from the cycles of nature, where as all of this should bring us closer. I mean, wouldn't that be part of the listening of nature and what's happening?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, and inside of that is, we're talking about the most visible thing that we're seeing in the United States is the weather pattern shift, right? Yeah,
absolutely. California, we had 3 weeks of triple digits. It was absolutely, it was hard to keep my horses on their feet.
Yeah, right. And so those are some of the dramatic changes that you're noticing. But when we go back and look at that cycle, it's happened on the planet before. And, one of the things they were predicting was that the summer polar ice cap will be completely gone. I mean, the BBC had this big thing on recently about that. And, we've been here how many billions of years? We're noticing it because we're alive now to notice. And I'm not saying that it's not happening, and I don't know the cause of why it's happening. I'm just saying we begin to look around and notice what we see and how that impacts us. And in our stillness and in our space of listening, we can hear clearer what that means to us. And then instead of having that fear frequency of like, oh my God, the world's going to end, we go,
Chicken Little syndrome. The Chicken Little. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Sorry. I look at some of this and think, okay, where am I putting my energy? I'm putting my energy to assisting as many people as possible to be their best selves, to awaken to their gifts, whatever they are. I mean, if your gift is cooking for people, then cook for people. If that brings you joy and light and happiness, then do that.
And that's the key word, joy. I mean, it's so easy to follow the downward spiral, whereas we could move upwards and, instead of,
right.
And look towards the joy, what's good in our lives, and listen to, this vibration that's going to attune us in 12, 12, 12.
Right.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And so here's the challenge, or here's the question that I have out in front of everybody right now at the moment. Okay, so we're in the last quarter. We're at September 13, moving toward 12, 12, 12. What are you going to do daily to move yourself even a half step toward happiness? Even a half step toward non-judgment? Even a half step toward joy? And it's simple things, but you have to take those actions.
Well, that's put beautifully, Charlene, and it's the perfect ending to a perfect and a beautiful interview with wonderful guest.
Thank you,
Charlene. I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge and your work, and I really appreciate you sharing your insights with us tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. I appreciate that. I love to talk, you can tell.
Oh, yeah, and we love to listen to you. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, for more information or to make contact with Charlene Hood, visit her website at Charlene, Charlaine, hood.com. And her contact information is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last week's show on karma and reincarnation, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives and archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share your link with others. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, and the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best, and I'm saying the best, professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the lists of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of our co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Again, the call-in number at the end of the show, not right now, is 724-444-4851. So listen for when we're ready to take the calls. And I'm sure Maureen's going to put that number in the chat room because she always does. Okay, now for the fun part, what I call is our conversation, our kibitzing part. Okay, Steve, what are some of your thoughts on Charlene's, what Charlene was talking about with 12-12-12?
I think she's really interesting. I was actually speaking with Charlene this morning. And I always say to Charlene that she really makes me think. She really bends my mind. So even as someone that works in metaphysics, when I speak to Charlene, she really gets me thinking about things that I perhaps hadn't considered. And I find her really refreshing. I do like her comments about the fact that we shouldn't be scared, that we're talking about the end of an era. The world as we know it is ending, but it doesn't mean that the world is ending. We're changing, we're transforming, and we really need to change. If you look at the weather patterns, the planets revolting. So our Mother Earth is revolting, and we've got to listen rather than just continue to live as we do and drain her of resources. And also, if you look at the uprisings and events around the world, we've really got to listen and make changes. We can't continue as we are.
Oh, you definitely can't ignore what's happening. I mean, you really can't. You'd have to, especially with, you know, we have contact with all this media now. You can't help but know. So,
it is true. I mean, something happens in one location and straight away it's all around the world. And, you know, Charlene mentioned astrology. And most people have heard talk about the alignment of Uranus squaring Pluto. And Pluto represents the depths of the psyche, also secretive elements. So it's symbolic of what's really going on within a person or within a person's psyche, consciously or unconsciously, or what's really going on in the world. And then the square with Uranus being enlightenment, sudden disruption, sudden occurrences, things suddenly coming to a head or to light. You have these two energies squaring, and what are we seeing? We're seeing all kinds of things coming to the surface that we didn't know about before, such as corruption in some of the biggest and previously most respected banks, people rising up and saying, no more, we're not going to tolerate being abused and dictated to. And this is what's happening in the world. It's that squaring of Uranus and Pluto, and that continues for a good couple of years, and it heats up. So each time we get an exact square between Uranus and Pluto, the energy builds up because they're Pluto moves back, and then back they meet back up in a square. The next one's the 18th of September. So we've got to be ready to listen and change and react. And I liked what Charlene said about, you know, what are we each going to do to be more joyful, to actually make changes in our worlds, to understand what that square means for each of us. And it can be simple steps, but together we've got to change.
Well, it has to be a collective consciousness, and that's for sure. Well, thank you, Steve. That was intense. We're going to have to talk more about that square, too. That's pretty, you know, in astrology, the squares are some of the what's called the negative aspects, correct?
Yes, a square is a 90 degree angle. So two planets forming a square is discordant. It's not as discordant as an opposition. An opposition is 180 degrees, as you'd expect, which is,
right.
I always describe it as a double square. It's like a double whammy. But yeah, a square is a challenging, discordant energy that has to be
a blockage
managed.
Almost,
and
yes.
All events, I can't remember who it was that said to me recently that all events in life, whether they're harmonious or discordant, I know who it was. It was our guest last week on the radio show. We were talking about tarot, and our guest was saying discordant events are an opportunity for transformation, an opportunity for growth.
Well, sometimes I think they have to be, that's the wake-up call. It has to hit you on the back of the neck. I mean, hello, how bad does it have to get before you make a move here, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. Unfortunately, we wait for catastrophe to make big change.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Maureen, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I have some pretty passionate thoughts on this. You know,
let's hear it.
I'm going to tell. I think you guys all know by now, but I'm going to say it anyway. But I'm a real union Carl Jung person. I just think he was just the bee's knees with his way and how he saw things. And you know, it's interesting because if you take a look at Carl Jung's archetype of the apocalypse, which we don't like that word, but that word means revelation, and it's from the Greek meaning uncovering what has been hidden. So the way I it goes into what you guys were just saying. It goes into what she was talking about, the collective unconsciousness and all that, but it also has, I heard that, Brenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I needed breath.
I know, but you know, it does give oxygen to your brain.
That's right. I need some oxygen. I had to listen to Maureen. I need more oxygen to my brain.
One more brain. So in other words, the revelation of new truth, I think, is what this is all about. So it's like the process operates in four phases, the way he saw it. Revelation, judgment, destruction, and then a new birth. So if we look back over, say, two centuries so far, we see the revelation of torrents of new scientific, psychological, and even like social truth, and judgments or assessments made on the basis of this new truth that we're involved in. So I see like the collapse of beliefs and institutions and stuff, that's what's going on, is based on the former truth. What you guys are just saying, it's almost like becoming dysfunctional within the context of the new truth that we're coming into. So the new worldview trying to blossom, I feel, is very much is what this is all about. Now, again, destruction, and Steve just said it. I don't know if that the word he used, but somewhat. And new birth take place simultaneously. So, you know, like I said, this is Carl Jung's teachings, and I think his teachings are the best. The popular word that is being used is called the apocalypse, and has come to mean total destruction, which is actually not what he intended to be for the archetype of it. So I do feel that it's about bringing in some new worldview. Right now we're a new God image, and I'm not saying as in we're going to believe in different gods, but a new relationship with the divine is what his archetype of the apocalypse was. So there's a new stage of psychological type of maturity. maturity for the whole earth. So I feel that it's in some ways, Steve, how did you just put it? You said it right before the very last thing you said. Well, I always say for more,
the
more
discordant events, no matter what they are,
they'll bring
are
in
opportunities for growth and
exactly.
transformation.
So it's like all our pains and sorrows are better reward, you know? But the thing of it is, I do feel very strongly about, I don't know, I just think that we're in a really great place right now, and I think that there's a lot of, there's just a lot of new things and being the, we're being more conscious of the walls coming down, so to speak. And I do feel that that is the core. It's a breakdown of the financial industry, and it's about everything. I mean, I'm so looking forward to it, actually. And as we started it, I feel, in the 60s. I'm not saying I'm saying this is the truth, it's a fact, but I feel it really started about the 60s, and we've been heading this direction. But I also would like to say one thing, that fascinatingly enough, again, this is odd, but something that's carried with me, like she was talking about different numbers and or things, or I always look at signs. But it occurred to me, in 1965, my father bought, so tripped, my parents went to Mexico City or something like that, and my father and mother, or my father, they purchased a Mayan calendar after, and it's like huge. It actually was made into a huge conference table. My father had it later polished, but it was a Mayan, and it's from Mexico City, and they ordered it, and it was supposed to go over the fireplace. It was so big, but the meaning behind it, of course, now, all these years, so that's a long time ago, is a piece of history. So this saying is absolutely beautiful, and I have never spoken about it, but when I look at it, it's since its death, my brother has his office, because it is very, very, very large. But like I said, my dad had made a conference table, and it's hard to explain, but it's so unbelievable. And at the time, I didn't know, up until recently, I figured out, well, this is a Mayan calendar. So it's just fascinating. So, you know, the whole story behind everything, I was observing it throughout the year, more so that I just find it interesting how that came to be part of my life. Well, I didn't know it was there, but fascinating. There you have it. Yeah.
It's never a coincidence.
No, it's not. It's not.
We look back on stuff and go, wait a minute, that's why this happened. And it can happen years later.
Yeah, it's odd. And I just wanted to bring it up because it didn't occur to me to bring it up, but I go, and especially the Dalai Lama. I mean, because of my father invited me last minute, and it was only like less than 100 people. In 1989, and I got to shake his hand. He was really great.
Oh,
it's like,
wow.
I know, I was 27 years old, and I didn't know at the time. Well, you know, I just went. And
right before your Saturn return.
Yeah. And you know what's so fascinating? It's like, I think back, oh, wow. And, you know, I always thought my father and I, we didn't get along much, really. I thought he would, but it's funny how, because of him, the Mayan calendar, the Dalai Lama, and here I am. And we're talking about things like we are.
Of the spiritual nature.
So I'm looking. I'm in spiritual nature.
We must
really
embrace it. Embrace it instead of clinging with fear. You know.
Exactly. And so I'm looking forward to what's happening here, and with open arms. Absolutely. I mean, because I finally feel like I'm in a more normal world when it all comes down to it.
Well, thank you, Maureen. Now, Bobby, we want to pick his brain on what he thinks about this 12-12-12.
Could take a while.
Okay, Bobby. Lay it on us, baby.
You know, it's really, it would just be mimicking what Maureen has said, and really all of us have said, that there's absolutely no reason to panic, or I don't feel, you know, I've said that I don't believe that 2012 is an event that's going to happen. I think we're in it. I think it has been happening. The minute the fear, the momentum started last year, towards the end of last year, this momentum of, oh God, it's the year, it's 2012, and here we go, and all that kind of stuff. And I think we already have been going through the change. It's kind of, I think I've used it, and I'll probably end up saying this a couple of more times, but it's kind of like the death process. The dying itself, the actual leaving the body, it just happens, doesn't it? It's all the events and everything that takes place up to the dying moment. That's death, you know, and it just depends on how you face
it. Like grieving, you mean? Like grieving ahead of time?
grieving and the body, the transitions that the body makes and preparing to leave and the spiritual journey that happens with some people are seeing their loved ones before they cross. Some people hit this completely no fear. They're almost at the bus stop waiting to go. They're in this transition stage before the actual spirit leaves the body. You know, it's mm-hmm. it sometimes can be very, very profound. And I think, again, no matter what it is, that's all it. That's the whole process. And then, you know, then the actual dying happens. But the 2012, I think that, yeah, I think, you know, I just believe that, like you said, everybody's just panicking. Some people can't even handle a negative coworker at their job.
Looking at them sideways. Oh, no, they don't like me.
Yeah, and then there's this huge panic over 2012. And you have well-meaning people. You know, obviously Facebook has been this big wall for people to write their stuff on. And we just got done with September 11th. And somebody had put on there, you know, they showed the explosions and stuff. And we will never forget. I think it's important for us to teach our children and let them know of the horrific things. And not realizing that all you're doing is just completely feeding into fear.
Perpetuating the fear.
Exactly. And it will just lead to more finger pointing and mistrust and blame and resentment. And that's what that person is breeding, and all of this we shall never forget. And we, you know, they think it's a dishonor if we try to move on. The Jewish people, for the most part, have moved on and have done nothing but spread love. You know what I mean? And they have, I think that they've done everything right. And if there's anybody that has had, you know, a reason to hang on and be bitter, it's that those people as a whole, but they don't, not from what I've seen, you know, for the most part, I think most of the people. So do you see what I mean? I think we're just, like you used a great word, perpetuating. I think we're causing a momentum of fear. I think that people are coming to us wanting us to fix something that's not even broken yet, instead of looking at the contrast being a good thing. Exactly what Steve said. It's the contrast is living in the way that we are that decides how we will live from here on out and what we will do from here on out and how we're going to be. It's, hey, we have to go through this to know what we want. And people aren't looking at it that way. They're just freaking out. Stop freaking out. That's
Is that your message, Bobby? Freaking out.
I'm hitting it for my angel. Hang on. Yeah, stop freaking out. Okay.
All right, already, huh? Yeah. Well, thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Now, Steve, back to you again. You know, I have a question for you, Steve, because Charlene kind of touched on the Aquarian age, and I know that people think we're in the Aquarian age, but aren't we just still cusping on the Aquarian age?
Depends which source you look at. I mean, I was reading something about the Aquarian Age this afternoon that was suggesting that we've been on the cusp or moving into the Aquarian Age for the last 200 years. I feel that we really are full swing now into the Aquarian Age. And it is the age of invention, of waking up, illumination. And it is the age of, you know, people standing up and saying no more. You know, Aquarius as an energy represents originality, inventiveness.
Humanity, too.
Yeah, and also things happening suddenly. Lightning is ruled by Aquarius, for example. So it's the time when we really can make enormous leaps, but there can also be big shocks as well if we don't manage things correctly.
Interesting. So you wouldn't think that. So you think we're already in the Aquarian age, even though the Piscean age is the I believe, and sometimes you don't check your facts. You just believe blindly and go towards that faith. And perhaps all of our technology has advanced us faster into the Aquarian age, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. But also Pisces is the personification of, or the fish is the personification of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Piscean age beginning when Christ was born and us now transitioning to a new age. It doesn't mean that Jesus Christ didn't exist. But if you think of it, we've, in terms of religion and the way we've functioned as cultures, as societies, for the last 2,000 years, we functioned on the belief that we don't necessarily interact with spirit or God individually, that we are beholden to the church or an institution. And that's representative of this Piscean age. When you see people driving around with their cars and they have the two fish on their car, they probably don't realize it's actually a depiction of the Piscean age. And we're transitioning now to an age in which we question ourselves. We inquire for ourselves. You know, do you need to speak to a priest to have a relationship with God or the universe or spirit? We're being more original, more unique, more authentic as we move into this age. That's why, for example, metaphysics is being more understood and more appreciated, because we're saying by channeling and by connecting with the universe, the God source, that we all have a relationship with spirit, because we all belong to spirit. We are part of spirit. We are part of the Godhead. And you can't deny me my right to that connection and relationship with spirit. And I can be counted just as somebody who is being suppressed in, you know, a dictatorship in Libya or Syria right now has the right to assert themselves and say, enough. We're questioning institutions. We're questioning banks. And what's hidden is coming to the surface, and we're going to see a lot more of it.
I'm glad you brought up the whole banks thing, because boy, have they been doing the shell game on all of us, that's for sure. Well, that's very interesting, because that clarifies a lot, because, you know, there's been so many talks. Some people say, oh, it's you know, the Aquarian Age doesn't officially start until 1226 or 1260 or something like that. So, okay, Maureen, what about you? I wanted to ask you about, we talked a little bit about renewal and some of, you know, you were talking about the apocalypse. Wouldn't you think that that would relate to the Tower card and the Tarot?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because, in fact, because, you know, I'm, you know, Tarot is my, you know, connection. But I did a lot of research. I'm self-taught. So I did a lot of research with the Tower and the Chariot card, because 7 and then the 16 is Tower goes into 7. Hold on a minute. Sorry. And what I found was that if you go with 7 being the mystical, the number of the mystics and the number of what we're doing about, and then 16 being the Tower, which has a whole breakdown of order. So I find the Tower reflects that. But then 7 also with the Chariot means, okay, are you going to make a decision to take the right direction or the other direction, or rise to the occasion or to take control of your life, or actually in the way I'm looking at it, also to be a better person and to be more enlightened, to be self-aware, observant, and self and all that, the observer. But I feel, I don't know what you feel about this tower, Brenda, yeah?
Well, it's very much like you had kind of touched on before. It's building new foundations, because they're, like, broken down, followed by enlightenment.
They don't work. And that can be extreme. You know, the mystics used to say, well, I read, you know, I did some in the libraries, how I would go through all these information. Because, you know, the Tower, you know, number 6, everything goes in astrology, numerology. Just, you know, how it all just kind of fuses. It's amazing. But the mystics used to call the Tower experience one of the most, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy, but it's the most enlightened.
Exactly.
Because most people will not be able to totally rebuild something that they will not go on their conditions. It's so difficult, but if most of us don't, but if you're able to do so, and you make it, you build it on what is really workable for you in your life, and that the ego gets in the way, or the conditions of what we learned, but the values, beliefs, morals, and everything is involved in that. And I think I've been through the Tower couple times, and not that I look forward to it, but it's fantastic. But the mystics would say usually it would be stupid for someone, but it isn't. We're all there. We're getting to that tower point, I think, a lot of people.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you,
Maureen. Okay, we have come to that part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. Again, the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, 724-444-4851. Also, be aware that each call is going to be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very clear and direct in your questions, and we can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all calls and all people waiting for a reading. Okay, first, Bobby from California.
Yes, hello, California. So we have an alien on
yes,
the other
it's,
line.
Yes, it
sounds like an alien.
It's
speaking in
see, we're
dots
all
and dashes.
We're all connected.
I can read for anybody. It's okay. Sure. Hello, California.
I can translate that.
That's Morse code. Okay. Let's try Ohio, Bobby, okay?
Let's move on to Ohio. Hi, oh. Oh, hi, oh.
Hey. Hi, my name is Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I'm calling to ask about my job.
Okay.
It's been a rough ride with this job.
I'm sorry. I think I probably cut you off because I was asking what it is you wanted to know about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I going to have this job, or am I going to have another job, or?
Well, what do you mean? Are you in a job right now?
Yes.
Okay. And
the
you
job
want to know
I'm
if you're going to
right
stay
now.
There or move on?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a lot of stress. And I'm not sure what I should be moving on to.
That's what's causing the stress. I mean, if you take a look at it, it's not necessarily a matter of if you're going to move on or not. It's a matter of just it's just stressful moving on. And sometimes that can kind of quash our motivation, can't it? Because what I'm going to have to do and moving jobs and I don't know what I'm going to go to and how what that looks like. And so then we just say, it's just easier just to deal with where I'm at. So I think I feel inside of you there's a core that definitely wants to move on. So that's not a problem. I think all you have to do now is deal with the stress of that, what we just talked about, with what you might be moving on to, or what all that's going to involve. What do you want to do? The job that you're doing now, obviously, I agree. You know, with the feelings that you have of it, I don't think it's right for you. I don't think that you need to be there in that particular job, and I think it is time to move on. This you haven't had this job very long. This one,
not the position that I'm in now. I've had it for about 5 years, but I've been working for this company for about 16 years.
Yeah, wherever you're at though right now, I just feel like you've been there long. So that's the feeling I'm picking up. If that's a position, I would take that. I think it's definitely time to kind of move on. You know, it's you've kind of become stuck in that company rut. You know, you're kind of just doing the same things. And even though this new position, it's all still the kind of same feeling and stuff. And I think it's more time to pay attention to you. You know, what we've talked about with the whole 2012
right.
thing. What we need to do is
like
start
to figure out what spirit
time.
Wanted
Sorry?
Me to do.
What?
The spirit wanted me to do my purpose.
Well, okay. That's if you want to believe that, that's just fine. And let's say that was the case, and now you've done that. And so, again, it's time to move on. And the best way to do that is to start paying attention to yourself. Like I started to say, when we have this whole 2012 thing, and we need to start blossoming into what it is that we want and start getting very, very specific. That's the first place that you start. Don't worry about when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. Okay? The first thoughts, the
They're
first steps.
They're not going to fire me, though, right?
What, sweetheart?
I said I won't get fired from this job, though, right?
Well, here's the thing, is that if you want out bad enough and you're not taking the steps necessary to leave, you will find a way to leave. In other words, yes, you could put yourself in a position where you could get fired, that you're getting out of the company. I don't see that happening, but you have to be careful as to, again, if you're not moving and expanding with this thought that you're having of wanting to move forward. Do you see what I mean? Like, you're wanting to go on. Are you grasping what I'm saying at all?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Move forward with the...
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Move forward with your thought. Expand with that. Okay, I'm feeling like I want to move on. I'm feeling like I want a new job. I don't know what that looks like yet, so what do I want to do? And just start going there. You start building that momentum up. And once you do that, you're going to be great. Now, this will take place. You know, I can't say what you're going to do. I can't say, you know, that you're going to start thinking about it tonight and you're going to create change, and in 2 weeks you're going to be out of your job. But what I can say is I see you in a new job before the end of the year.
Okay.
So you're obviously headed in the right direction from what I can see, which is great. Just don't trip yourself up. I'm just giving you a little bit of what you can facilitate that a little bit better. You know what I mean? A little bit more speedily, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're going to be fine. Okay. Don't worry about the what's and the when's and the how's. You'll before the end of the year, you'll be in a new job, and it'll be going. You'll start getting that smile back. You know how you've clinched up? I can feel it in your chest. It's all just kind of closed off. You'll start to open up and feel a little bit more deeper now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetheart. You bet. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Sweetheart, that's sweet.
Thank you, Bobby. Oh, that was a warm and fuzzy.
No, it was. It's so cute. It's come naturally. Okay.
Hey, Maureen, you're next.
Hey.
From California.
Hey, Hays for Horses. No, hi, California. I know why, Brenda. Hi, California.
Hi there.
This is Maureen.
Hey, Maureen. This is Ivan calling.
Well, hi, Ivan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And what can I help you with?
Well, I'm calling. It's funny that I called in after that last caller, but I'm calling because I recently got laid off, and I'm pretty happy about it, but I'm calling to see where you see me going career-wise with my new freedom.
Right, got it. So you're happy about it for probably some good particular reason, because maybe it's the best thing. You know, the things we think we don't need are the things we need the most. And, you know, Ivan, correct? Ivan, you know, this is what I'm getting. You know, you have a habit of carrying a burden on your back of many that belong to other people. You know what I mean? You just tend to be, and you could be taken for granted or taken advantage of because of it. And I feel that the job you got laid off of, you're probably doing most of, I don't see any reason why, except, like, you brought up a really positive thing to it. It was probably time, because you're not doing anyone favors if you're doing everything. It's just breaking your back, and it's exhausting. And did you feel that was going on for you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Was that happening for you, Ivan? Do you tend to take a lot on your back that belongs to other people in the work?
I can see that.
Then they lay you off. What I see going, it's almost like, in a way, it's like, I can identify with that. It's like I can do that, and then you're out of there. But the thing of it is, you know, you choose to do that. But what I'm seeing going on, it was a good thing this happened to you. But what I do feel this going on, even though it looks like there's some bad news around the corner, I do feel there's going to be a third opportunity or where you apply yourself to. The third opportunity is going to be very positive. And I do feel that you're going to be able to show you were overqualified. I see where you were before. Okay. You're going to be able to show off your abilities. And this other, and I see it to be around a building, and I see your hands, and it looks like a newer location. But it's going to be very fulfilling, and it's not so much about the money part of it, but it's going to be very fulfilling for you if you know what I mean. It's, you're doing what you're doing. You're very good at. What are you? What But like I said, if you do go after, I do feel it's the third one. If you go after, if you're applying yourself after three different, like I said, I feel it's the third one. But I do see within 3 weeks. But you may get some not so good news about maybe one that you, the first one that you might pursue. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. Family has issues. But Ivan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Are you following me okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. You have, it's a very good time for you, and I think that you're very enlightened. You're very authentic, and I think it's that what you said, it was probably how you said, the very first thing you said, I got laid off, but I think it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I think you got off the hook easy because I think it was, you're going to, it was too exhausting, and you were doing everything, and you were overqualified, and you didn't get the respect or notability that noted that you deserved. I see you heading in a really positive direction, which is completely the opposite of what the, what that was at, like at your job that you recently. They did you a favor. Even though...
I really felt that coming in.
Yeah, coming it was really nice that you brought that up because it was really just good for you to be, you know,
yeah,
able to bring that to your, you know, to be aware of that. So I do feel, and within 3 weeks, I do feel, and it just looks like you're real into it. It's very positive, and you're going to be able to show off your people, your abilities are just, they'll be really shining through. It's fantastic. And it's going to be doing more about what you're fused to do better. It's like being in your true self more.
You think it'll be in my same field? I've worked in the music industry for a while.
Oh, yeah. It may be that you might be starting into, it looks like a new location, and but I see more, yes, but coming from the, you beginning from the, creating the, from the ground, kind of like that type, starting it from, it's not already established, or it's going to be your thing, and your abilities are going to really shine through. Absolutely. It's a creative thing, I feel, and I see your hands, like I said, but I see a new location, and you're the master of it. I mean, it's like an artist being the master, mastering. It's not like where you were at recently at all.
Right.
It's really, really...
A new location? You see me moving? Really?
I don't see you being able to move right away, but I do see that you're searching for a deeper meaning. Family, there's a lot of reconnecting with the family real soon, for whatever reasons. I don't know why. But I feel that, after the first of the year, I feel that there'd be a great opportunity to move, but I think you should take one step at a time. Well, if you had to relocate for this, I would go for it. I don't see a big relocation for what I'm seeing this job. Opportunity, though, I don't. I don't see it to be, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't see you relocating. I'm talking like a rabbit. Sorry, cartoon time. You're willing to relocate, though, yes?
I think at some point, but not
really. Now. And I don't see any reason
why. Yeah, I like
why.
Mario.
Of course, you have the whole, you got your whole life ahead of you, but I do feel that this, like you did get, someone was watching, you were blessed to be thrown out from where you were at in this job. You're heading towards what you're supposed to be really doing to shine, and your abilities and your accomplishments, and you've mastered what I see you doing here, what I'm getting. And like, it does look like a new building, or the project's very new, and the feeling is new. But I see you working with your hands, really interested in it. You love this. You'll love it.
Okay.
You'll love it. Well, you deserve it, you know. You own it, but it's not for what I'm saying. But I hope you followed me, okay? You're heading towards where you're supposed to go. So they gave you a kick out there sooner than that. You know, maybe that's just the way it had to be. Kick your butt out of there so you could get to it where you need to go and do your thing. And if it's in the music, yeah, do your thing. It's time. No fear. Just go for it.
That's great. Well, thank you.
I see opportunity to do so, and it's real. Okay? I hope I helped you, Evan. And you take care.
Oh, great. No, you did. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. That was very insightful, my dear. I'd like to mention for those people who are calling in for the free readings, you know, unfortunately, because we have a lot of people in line, we can only give you a little taste, but if you'd like the whole enchilada, you know, please feel free to, you know, come to psychicaccess.com for a more in-depth reading. You know, you can get a reading from any one of us or the other talented psychics online. Okay, Steve, you're next from New Jersey.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from New Jersey?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, who's this?
Hello? This is Deborah, Steve. How are you?
Hello, Deborah. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I am thankful for my job, and I know there's been phone calls about jobs, but I really need a transfer. Do you see a transfer in my future? My job is still
the
pit.
You're still unhappy in the role?
It's like a roller coaster ride. It's nice that we have this one soldier that don't know his job, so it makes it harder for the rest of us. And it's mountains of paperwork. And I hate to sound unthankful because there are people out there that don't have jobs, you know? So I'm thankful.
Oh, no, but that doesn't mean that if you're unhappy in a job, you should stay in it. I mean, obviously, you want to transition to another opportunity without there being a gap in between times.
Yeah.
I honestly feel that you will move, but I don't feel it's this side of Christmas. I feel that you've got to stick it out for now, Deborah. My guides give me the number 5, and I'm pretty sure it's not 5 weeks. It's more like 5 months. So I feel that you need to grin and bear it for that time and get focused on what it is you do want to do. My guides say you're not clear what it is you really want to do when you do transfer. So it doesn't feel that you have a vision for the role you would like to move to.
I agree.
And so they're talking about the development of a plan and saying that, you know, in an organization, you need to have a plan and to be clear what your objective is and what development is or what training is required to enable you to step towards that role that you really want. So
my guides
give me the feeling you can ask about a career development discussion that's actually really positive, that's not about a focus on disliking this role, that's on leveraging your strengths, your innate talents that you want to put to play to benefit the organization. Being your best, and I feel if you do that, you'll move around end of March, beginning of April. But you need to open up a discussion about your development, your career objectives, what your greatest strengths are, etc. There's a great tool out there called Strengths Finder that you should have a look at, because it talks about playing to innate talent, doing what we're absolutely best at. Do you feel comfortable having that kind of conversation with your line manager?
I am. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. And you know, Deborah, you're really well liked. Nobody dislikes you or takes offense to you. So you're very fortunate, and you've got this charm and charisma. You can have that kind of discussion without upsetting anybody. But my guides say focus it on, this is my objective in the longer term. This is why it's good for me. This is why it's good for the organization. It's focused on these greatest talents of mine, and therefore I would create this impact within the organization. Can you work with me to help me define that path? That's the conversation you want to have with your manager. And that's a conversation that your manager is going to support.
I'm going to work on that, and I'm going to goals towards that direction then.
Yeah, and I do feel right at the end of March you'll know where you're going, and in April you'll be moving.
Thank you so very much. Nice to
you're welcome,
to you
Deborah.
Again.
Good luck. Nice to hear from you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, the next call is for me from New York. Hi, New York.
Hello.
What can I do for you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. How can I help you?
I guess it's a night of career questions. I just wanted to know if I should stay at the company that I'm at or if I should move on.
Okay, let's take a peek here. You know, I feel that you're going to make a leap into something else. There's an overwhelming sense of timing and an urge that's going to, and things, and also, you know, coupled with things falling into place towards another opportunity. I mean, it's all around you now. I mean, I wouldn't say that you're hesitating, and you are definitely questioning, and there needs to be more information before you make your move. But I really do feel that it's coming. The opportunity and the right, you know, things all lining up for you to make your move is coming. And I mean, I know you're worried because, you know, the holiday's coming up. What if I do this and it doesn't work out for me? I have to tell you that I see it within 3 months. So you may still be going through the holiday period in the situation you are in now and then make your change. That's what I see.
Okay, and, I'm going to leave the company I'm at.
It feels like it. It feels like there's another opportunity opening up for you, yes.
Okay.
Have you been looking?
Do you know if it'll still be in the same line of work?
It looks like it's along the same lines. However, I see more creative freedom around this new opportunity. In other words, I really feel that you're in a place where you can do a lot better and you be more effective with the type of work you do in this next position. And I also see the environment's a lot more creative and exciting as well.
Oh, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, and so, you know, there is momentum around this, and I see you kind of, you know, in the hands of the universe, almost like, you know, you're being led in this direction, and I see a man from the past. When this all starts to fall into place, you know, there'll be certain key people who come in to, you know, influence and make this easier for you, this transition.
Oh, okay. You said a man from the past?
I feel a man from the past comes in. I don't know if it's a company you worked with before, or you had applied for and it didn't manifest in the past. But it does feel like it's something from the past that comes back. Was there a place that you had wanted to work and it didn't work out, or the timing wasn't right?
The company that I'm at right now is the company I wanted to work for, but it just doesn't seem like there's a position that's, you know, manifesting for me. I've went for two positions and they, you know, I've not gotten either one of them. So
I'm just wondering if I should stay. Perhaps then that's these positions that you're hoping for and you're wanting for, if they're not manifesting there, then, you know, then they are going to manifest someplace else. So by the past, we could mean that this is, you know, since it's not happening here and it's something that you really came into this wanting, then you may have to look elsewhere. You see what I mean? Yeah. So there you go, my dear.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Bobby, California, the nemesis from California is there for you.
Oh, we're going to try it again, are we? Hello, are you there this time?
Hello.
Hey, you
I'm
better
calling
hang on
about
this
love
time,
and relationship.
Brilliant stuff to say, and you were hanging up, and we couldn't get a hold of you. It's too bad. It was such a reading.
I know. This is my first time calling.
Oh, no. See, I had lottery numbers. I had everything lined up for you,
oh, no.
And now they're gone. They're gone now. So what's going on? How can I help you?
Well, I'm calling about love and relationship. His name is Chris, and I've gone through it, and I'm supposed to be getting a nice little pot of gold at the end of this rainbow of trials and tribulations with him, and I just wanted to see what you see in regards to him and I. together?
Well, so when, so I don't understand. So you've been through it, and I guess I didn't understand. I didn't get the analogy of the pot at the end of the rainbow and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, okay. Well, I'm in love with him.
Do you want to be together with this guy?
In love with me. I'm in love with him. He's in love with me. But he is married, and he's there for his kids. And I was foretold some things and just wanted to see what you've seen in regards to the situation. I'm kind of patiently waiting because I stepped back and I just wanted everything to, you know, follow through. So I stepped back away from the situation and I'm just waiting for things to change its course if they're going to change.
Right. And that's a good thing to do. But I just want to be clear, as in, I would not listen to being foretold what's going to happen with your relationship. That will keep you hanging on unnecessarily. It will drag you through a lot of unneeded suffering. You know,
exactly.
There's a lot of people who do what I do and talk about how you guys are going to be together and you guys are, you know, he's meant for you. And listen, I see the relationship between you and it's good. I like the way he feels towards you. I like the way you feel towards him. There's a definite connection there, okay? When it comes down to it, and I'll expand on this in just a moment, but when it comes right down to it, you two will either be together or you won't, okay?
Right.
To listen to somebody who foretells, and this isn't marking you down, but there's a lot of people in this position who have been told, you two will totally be together by like three different psychics. I'm going through one of my personal clients that was told this. And she hung on and hung on, and it literally destroyed her world when her and this other guy never got together. Three psychics told her it was supposed to be that way. What the hell happened? Yada, yada, yada. Do you see what I mean? So
Exactly.
Good for you. So what I would really focus on are the expansion and contraction of feelings that you go through in this moment. In other words, you talk when you talk, you enjoy the connection when you enjoy the connection, and if you should get feelings like maybe I should pull back, give him some space right now, then that's what you do. Do you see what I mean?
Right, this and that's what I've done. Organism. That's what I've done, and I haven't even contacted him.
Good, so that's fine. Don't until you feel like you're ready to. Okay?
Right.
So in other words, this is a living, breathing energy connection. And just in our lives, we have to expand and contract with that. So even though you guys have this great, when you're together, connection, talking thing going on, it's wonderful. Over here, at the next moment, it could be a feeling like needing to pull back and I haven't contacted him and that kind of thing. And that's okay. Because regardless of his position and where he's at, regardless of what's going to happen down the line between you two, the connection between you still exists, regardless of anybody's opinion about it, regardless of what's supposed to happen or not going to happen, you two are connected, okay? It's a wonderful connection, and that will eventually lead you together, or again, if like humans do, we muck things up when we think about things too much and we can throw ourselves off course, and then you two might not be together. So that's why you have to kind of enjoy what it is that you have. What is this teaching you in a sense? Like, I'm finding out more of what it is I really want in a man. I like the way he treats me. I love the way he talks to me, the support in his voice. And I'm picking up on him and how he actually talks to you. This isn't just an analogy. So when he talks to you,
I just don't know when to say, like you said, I'm waiting, but I'm like, well, when would be the right time? I'm like, I don't feel like right now is the right time for me to communicate with him. I feel like more toward the end of the month, but I'm like, that's just a feeling. I don't know.
And that's all you go by. That's what I'm saying. I'm pulling in information on what would help you get through this even more so. And again, you're discovering the parts it is that you love about him, about what you love in a relationship. And whether he is supposed to be together with you or not, you're finding out what really makes your motor run. The support and love he has in his voice. I want a man that has that support and love in his voice when he talks to me. that's what you want,
exactly.
What it's really about. Whether it comes from him down the road or not, doesn't matter. This is what you want in a relationship. This is what you are craving in a relationship, and this is what you will draw to you, whether it's him or somebody else. So you see what I mean? Extract the parts of this and focus on that, because really when it comes down to it, this is all about you, not him right now, right?
Right.
He's not calling in. You're calling in.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay.
Hopefully that answers you. And I know it does. You've got a deeper answer here than just will we be together or not, because that doesn't serve you. You've been told, and that hasn't done you any good. You know what I mean? So I'm just taking it a little deeper of what is more satisfying than just answering that question. Hopefully you realize that.
Right. And I do understand what you're saying too.
Sure.
So,
I really enjoyed our conversation so much.
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Bobby. Thank you. For those pearls of wisdom. Okay, Maureen has there's a question from the chat room for Maureen. Dee wants to know, she says she wants to move. She's not sure where and when, and she wants to know when you see that happening, and she's not sure if her job will support her move.
Okay, hi, Dee. And hello in the chat room. She's in the chat room. Lovely D. Okay, this is your job supporting your move. I'm not clear on that part of it, except if you would want to relocate. But this is what I'm getting. I am getting that in October it's going to be a really good timing for anything to do regarding a move or pursuing a move. There's just some really good timing of energy around, you know, making a change of some sort. And the move would be a pretty good change. Now, I also am getting there's a lot of stuff happening around here, you know, going on in your life. And I see completion going on, which actually is fantastic because completion is a new beginning. I feel that I do feel that you will make a move. Like I said, October is going to be a good time, I think, maybe to start being open to areas. And as far as maybe even going farther out of what you would normally think would be you'll make maybe a little bit of a relocation further than you anticipated or desired. I get really that it's been a long 10 years for you. You've been going through a lot of intense internalizing them painful things. Not that, you know, you're walking around all in dread and painful and showing everybody, but I think that you really deserve, when you make this move, and I do feel it will happen, I feel that you deserve to be in exactly where you want to be. And you will find exactly, well, I'm not going to use the word resonate, but I just did because I don't like it, but you will be connected to what is almost like coming back into your true skin, your true self. So, like I said, October is a very good feeling around it, maybe to really start looking, or maybe looking even more further than you thought. And I do feel that around March 2013, I could be wrong, is where I see this happening and being completed as that will be it, your move. And you'll never move again. As far as your job not supporting it, I think your job's in chaos. I don't know what they could do to support it, but I see really good positive opportunity in your moving. October's very good, and March. October for looking. So I hope that helped you. Yeah. Dee, if there's anything
you want.
Thank
you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, there's a rumor that we have one more last call. And that would be for Steve. And here we go. We're going to find out. Steve, South Dakota.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Hello, I am Maida. Maybe this was meant to be. I just walked in the door and picked up the phone, and here I got on. So maybe.
Well, that's great.
Maybe somebody sensed I'm pretty desperate. I'm on the board of directors for Organization for Kids. I'm so frustrated. I'm just at my wit's end. There's an individual who inspires others to be completely negative. It's just tearing, you know, the organization apart, and it's really bad. When I say it's bad, it's really bad. And I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. And so I was hoping that you could give me some guidance as to what you see would be helpful. At this point, I'm really frustrated.
I can tell. You've got to... You've got wonderful energy. And I know that you're frustrated. I know that it's challenging. You know, you're working in an organization that's dealing with problems, that's trying to solve problems and help children. And you've got this negative attitude that you're having to deal with. But the part of the opportunity for you is to be really resilient. You know, don't allow someone else's negativity to affect your energy and your attitude. This person is not going to be there for very long. Well, depends how you define very long. By March, I feel this person will have gone. I feel that it's recognized at a higher level that the organization is not a happy family, and that's already being addressed. It's already being dealt with behind the scenes. Now, it's going to take some time for it to unfold and for you to see the outcome, but your concerns are already being addressed because you're not the only person that has picked up on this. In fact, I feel that there have been two formal complaints, not from you, but I feel that two females have formally complained, and the situation will be transformed. You've just got to breathe through it. You know, Charlene, our guest, was talking about breathing. Just breathe. You're not creating the problem. You're not being negative. Just breathe. It's not your doing. This situation will work out fine. And actually, somehow, I know this is not your objective, but somehow benefits you a little financially next year, because I feel that there's some kind of reorganization. But I feel that the problem within the group is that this person's situation can't be addressed, partly because of budgetary issues, but that is being worked on. So I feel very sure that March time, that person's out.
Okay. Thank you. That really
You're
helped.
Welcome.
That, you know, that comforted me, because I just can't see an end. I'm facing tomorrow a group of people where I'm going to get yelled at for several hours, and that's hard to face. And
Well, not because
they're right. They feel
can you
that
not
they want to do
insist
that.
Insist that they show you respect. Now, why should you be yelled at?
That's how they interact. That's how they. That's how they deal with things. They yell at people. They accuse me of stuff, and they just bring in people to yell at me, and that's what they're going to be doing tomorrow.
Well, how can you stay calm and look them in the eye and say, look, I have a request for this meeting. I know that it is unfortunately normal in this group to raise voices and to be what I consider a little bit disrespectful. I would like to ask that we really show respect and professionalism towards each other in this meeting. That's how I work best, and I feel that's how we can get a more fruitful outcome in this discussion. Now, if you say that, they're not going to shout at you.
Okay.
There's no reason in the world why they should be justified in communicating with you that way. It's not acceptable. You need to calmly, firmly, lovingly, professionally say, this is how I would like this to be.
Okay.
And I wish you luck. It sounds rough, but I wish you luck. Stand up for yourself. You know, you don't have to be anything other than who you are, which is a really professional, nicely spoken lady that cares about her work. You don't need to allow these people to treat you that way. It's not acceptable. And in any case, this dynamic is going to change in March.
Okay, that helps me a lot. That's going to help me make it through the day tomorrow. So
well,
thank you very
much. Tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Bye now.
Thank you, Steve. Okay. Yeah, that was great. Okay, we have our last question from, and it's from the chat, and it's from The Hope, and she's asking, she had a question about a vision, something that she encountered in a vision, and she's wondering if it's real, if it's precognitive, something of that nature. Let's take a look. What she experienced was kind of a vision of something that would, you know, that was going to come into place. Let's see here. Well, the very first thing I see here is a situation involving a loved one is definitely going to change. And there is a lot of fear around that and a fear of loss. And I do see that there is somebody planning that's a little distance between you and a man. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions around it. If your question is, does this person still feel for you? I'm picking up that the emotions and the feelings are still there, but I see it as at a distance. I'm also seeing some communication too. So there is hope from this, and it could even be precognitive on your part that you've dreamt or had a vision about this situation, because it looks like this person is not in a good space and financially is having some troubles, and you're kind of chosen to be the person to receive this communication. And there is a lot that you can do. I mean, I would just pick up the phone, or I would talk to them and just tell them what you saw and, you know, what your feelings were about that. And because I don't believe that anything, you know, it's never a coincidence. You know, things happen for a reason. And then you have to look into, I would write down everything that you saw, you felt, and ask yourself this: what does it mean to me? Because dreams and visions are always very specific to you. There really isn't anybody that can, you know, interpret these visions and dreams better than you can, because everybody sees things a little bit different. Okay, I mean, I hope that answered your question, and thank you very much for calling in or, you know, coming into the chat room. And I want to thank the callers, too, that called in. And I want to say one more time that, you know, you got a little snippet tonight. And if you would like to have a little bit more information, you can always contact any of us hosts or anybody else, any other talent of the talented psychics at psychicaccess.com. Okay. That brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Yay! Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes, keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts, all of you, for joining me tonight. Next week, whose show is it next week? Let's talk about what the title is about that.
It's my show next week, and it's Gail St. John, who is an incredible psychic. She specializes in recovering missing persons, and unfortunately the remains of missing persons.
Oh,
she
wow.
was the psychic that found the remains of that little girl in Florida that was murdered by her mother.
Oh, no.
So she's got incredible experience and stories to share with us. It's going to be a very interesting one.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Okay, well, goodbye, everybody, and we will get together next show. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. get answers, get access, psychic access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, psychicaccess.com.